Excited to be here with you in the presence of God, to hear from the Word of God. You excited to be here today? Yeah, good, awesome, love it. We're going to dive into part three of our series, Removing Brain Rot. If it's your first time, second time, you're just jumping in, would absolutely encourage you to go back and listen to the last two. We're talking about really evaluating our time on our devices, how much time we spent, where we're spending time, what we're viewing, just what our consumption is. And so in week one, I challenged everyone to evaluate and track what that looks like in their own life. And it's going to be different for each and every one of us. What that looks like on our devices, but just gaining knowledge of how much time we spend and where we're spending it. Man, it's helpful to know that stuff. Last week, we talked about the notifications that we all get and how oftentimes those notifications become temptations and they just continue to pull us back in. And I challenged many of you, to go and to, turn some of those notifications off. You don't have to turn off all of them, but man, remove the unnecessary ones in order to not let your phone control you, but you be in control of your phone. And so we're going to kind of just continue down this thread of what it looks like to disconnect from our devices, from overconsumption, so that we can, man, connect with God in deeper, more meaningful ways that are unhurried, undistracted. You know, today, as I dive into my message, I was just thinking about Jesus's ministry and the things that he did. And honestly, at the end of the day, and I'm going to show you here in a minute in Luke 4, when Jesus started his ministry, you want to know what happened? He went viral, right? In our day and age, if they had cell phones, if they were videoing this stuff, the things that Jesus were doing, it would have went viral. Let me just show you what I mean by that, because the moment he leaves the wilderness, right after getting baptized, going to the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, he comes out and his ministry really kicks off. And in Luke 4, all the way down through probably about Luke 5, Luke 6, it just keeps going. But I want to show you this in Luke 4. In Luke 4, the first time we see it, verse 14, him going viral, news about Jesus spreads throughout the vicinity. And then it comes back down, another story comes up, 4:37, what do we see again? News about Jesus began to go out to every place in the vicinity. So you just see this spreading of what's taking place. And then in 5:15, we see the same thing happening. News about Jesus spread even more. And large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed. And so in essence, like I said, Jesus has gone viral, right? His social media is blowing up. He's about to hit 100 followers. And shortly after this, it's going to go from 100 to 3,000, right? And then it's going to go from 3,000 to about 5,000, because he's going out and he's doing these miracles and he's feeding these people, and people are coming and they're hearing and they're spreading the news. Man, they're hearing about all the healing that's taking place. That he healed a leper, that he healed a man's hand who's been crippled, that they hear about this miraculous haul of fish for some fishermen. And then him, casting out demons, having authority over demons. Just imagine if Jesus had come today, right? And you're one of his followers, you're a disciple. You got your phone, right? You're on TikTok, you're on Insta, you're on all those things. What are you doing when Jesus is doing his thing, right? You're recording, you're sending. And I mean, at the end of the day, what took place then, it happened in the same way. It just, it was a little bit different. But as we can see, news spread. But just think about this stuff being shared. And think about it in our day and age being shared instantly. And just the amount of overwhelming feedback that would come. There's comments, there's like, there's reshares. And people are just celebrating and praising. But what else do we get? Haters, naysayers, trolls, right? People coming against him. And what I want you to see and understand is that as the news of Jesus spread fast, with it came pressure, with it came influence, all of it was immense. And as you go through this story, the more the news spreads, you're going to see Jesus do something. As news of him is going out more and more, you find Jesus seeking out rest and solitude more and more. And so the story goes on. He's going viral and the news is spreading, but what we see in all of the Gospels is that Jesus is someone who is going to withdraw. And in our story, we're following along this track, Luke 4:42. News is spreading. People are coming. People are pressing in. What does he do? He goes out and he made his way to a deserted place. So he's seeking solitude. He's seeking rest in God. And then at the end of Luke 5:16, here's what it says. Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and he prayed. And I think this is just such an important thing for us to understand today in our lives with this constant bombardment of noise and busyness and distractions. Jesus withdrew from the crowd. He withdrew from the noise. He withdrew from the distractions and from the temptations so that he could be in the presence of God and to hear from God so that his spirit and his mind could be renewed. You know, my goal today for part three of this series is to help you to begin to practice the habit of withdrawing from the noise, the distractions, and the temptations just as Jesus did. And this practice is something that is found in Scripture. It's called the Sabbath. And I want to connect these two because Jesus often withdrawing to seek solitude and rest carries with it the essence of the Sabbath. So let me just give you a quick background on the Sabbath. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you haven't. And so we're going to get into the Hebrew etymology of this just briefly. I like words. I like the meanings of words. I'm a bit of a geek. And so let's look at this word Sabbath. It'll be up on the screens for you. And so the root comes from the Hebrew Shabbat. And that word essentially means to cease, desist, rest, stop working. Whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're involved in, knock it off. Okay, that's my translation. Okay, the first appearance would see, do you know who did this first? God did. In creation. 6 days he creates. On the seventh day, there's rest. In Hebrew thought, the Shabbat was not merely a break from activity, but it was a positive turning towards God. To stop what you're doing and delight in him, in his presence, in his promise, in his creation, in the things that he is doing and give him praise. You fast forward to Exodus after he frees his people. Moses goes up on a mountain and receives the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20, guess what? This becomes one of the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day. And keep that day holy. And if that day is holy, guess who's involved? It's God. It's all about God. And you were to labor for 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of rest, of ceasing, of desisting, of stopping your work to the Lord your God. Now, at the end of the day, there are many Christians who don't practice or keep the Sabbath. You'll find kind of an argument on both sides. Some will say that, you know, the practice of the Sabbath is an Old Testament commandment. We don't need that anymore. But there's still this undeniable need for all of us to rest, to disconnect from the world, seeking solitude in the quiet presence of God. And I'm not here to debate whether or not you need to practice the Sabbath in order to be a follower. That's not what I'm saying. But still, this practice of the Sabbath is something that we do need today. Like we, this is something that is so important for us today. Because again, look at it, like God rested, and then he called his people to rest, and they rested, and then Jesus shows up on the scene, and he rested, and you look at the pattern, you go, okay, if they're doing it, then we should do it. But we don't get so caught up on it that if we're not doing it, that something's wrong. It's just, we gotta find these rhythms. Actually, in Colossians 2, just because I wanna kinda put this in your brain, it talks about some of the religious leaders trying to impose all of these Jewish laws, the commandments, on new converts to Christianity. And so it says, therefore, don't let anyone judge you in the matter of some of these things. It talks about food laws. It talks about circumcision. And then it goes, in the matter of a Sabbath day. And it just simply says, these are a shadow of what was to come. And the substance of all of it is the Messiah. And I think this is a powerful thing, because as Jesus came, he didn't abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so what that means is that the substance of the Sabbath, what I'm going to be referring to as rest and solitude, is found in the Savior. And it's seeking him, and it's being with him, and it's hearing from him. And so with all that in mind, like what I'll say, like what was useful in the Old Testament, it's still useful now. And through Jesus and through the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, like practicing solitude and rest in Jesus, I'll say it is paramount to our spiritual, emotional, and mental health. Now, going along with Jesus being the substance of the Sabbath, Matthew 11:28, a verse that we probably all read to ourselves, share with somebody else, says this from Jesus. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened." And what is he going to give you? Rest. And so it's in the pursuit of Jesus that we find rest. You know, the last 2 weeks I shared with you from Philippians 4:8, and I talked about the importance of dwelling on the things of God over the things of the world. And today what I want to show you is that the point of the Sabbath, again, solitude and rest, is that we dwell in God's presence. That we go to him and we spend time with him, quiet, undistracted time with him. And what this means is that we have to disconnect in order to pursue him, that we have to, as we go into this, we reflect and we thank him. And then a big part of this is us just shutting everything down, including our thoughts and our mind, to simply hear him. And that's the practice that we're talking about. Being able to remove all this other noise, to seek him, to praise him, and to hear from him. So creating a habit of the Sabbath, solitude and rest, means that we've got to be good stewards of our time. And I'll go as far as to say that our best time is time spent with God. Would you all agree? Our best time is time spent with God. If we agree with that and we say, yes, you know, the times that I go to him and I spend it with him and I spend with his people, those times are so filling up and so engaging. But if we go back and look at our overconsumption of all these other things in our time with him, do our actions and our screen time and our well-being match up what we all would say that our best time is time spent with God? So the Sabbath, it becomes a practice of seeking solitude and finding rest. And let me just really quickly, I want to talk about solitude. When I speak of solitude, I'm really talking about taking time to yourself to seek out God. Meaning, again, like you have to remove all your worries, your projects, your conversations, your interactions, and your devices. And if you're not removing them, you take them and you put them at the feet of God and you say, God, these are in your hands. I'm going to give them to you. God, I'm just going to listen to you. And that's what we do in solitude. But I also want to say this. Don't confuse solitude for isolation. Now, I think this is a big thing where people isolate. And what isolation often does, it attempts, what we do when we isolate is we are hiding from our problems. We are hiding from people. And oftentimes, we're hiding from God. Isolation is a selfish thing where we go into ourselves, get caught up in our feelings, and we're not seeking God or seeking to do the will of God or seeking to help other people. It's just all about us. But when I talk about solitude, solitude is not selfish, because in solitude, we are seeking God for renewal, to be more like him so that we can become better for everyone that we love. And there's the difference. And I think it's so important. We must be mindful not to use solitude as an excuse to not spend time in community with others. Because I think sometimes that what we do, and I'll just tell you right now, if you're using it as an excuse to not spend time with people, it's not solitude, it's isolation. You're being selfish. Because at the end of the day, God wants you to spend time with him, and he wants you to spend time with other believers, and then he wants you to go out and share the good news that he has given up. And what I'll say to this, like I already said, Jesus often withdrew from the crowds and his disciples, but it didn't say always. And a lot of the times, as he tried to, go seek solitude and rest, he was abruptly interrupted because the people were there, and he would say, okay, God, I got a little bit left in me. I'm going to give it to these people, but I'll come back to you. He would always be willing to serve and love other people, no matter how tired he was. And then we get into rest. I think this is one of those things where we can go, you know what rest is? Rest for me means I'm just not working. But it's not just rest for our physical bodies. Like, you got to know that. It's also about rest for our mind and rest for our spirit. And so what I'll say when I talk about rest, rest becomes a renewal, yes, for your body, but also for your mind and also for your spirit. Now, unfortunately, the practice of rest in solitude, or, you know, as Jesus used, withdrawing from the constant pressure, the needs, the desires of people and culture around us, this practice has been all but lost. You want to know why? We like to stay busy. We like to be entertained. We like to stay connected. But you go back to Psalm 46:10. Do you know what God commands us to do? You ready for it? Be still. And so we're like, what did you say to me? Best not be saying be still to me. I don't even know what that means. I ain't never been that in my life. God says, be still and know that I am God. And so God invites us into solitude and rest, into stillness and quiet, but culture invites us to the absolute opposite. Culture says, stay busy. Keep going after it. Stay distracted so that you can't ever enter into a moment of stillness and quiet in the presence of God. We don't like it. We don't like the stillness. We don't like the silence. And our devices help distract us in those awkward, quiet moments. And you know what I'm talking about. Those moments when we used to be able to stand in a line and just reflect, or we're just waiting for something. Waiting for your coffee is a good one, right? What do? We just go like this. This is how we wait. And it may not even matter. It may not even be anything. We're doing this while we avoid this and don't go to this. And I mean, you think about that. I mean, some of us older folk, you know, when we didn't have phones, what did we have to do? Nothing. You know, we go like this. Twiddle our thumbs. And we're still thinking about things. But now there's this constant distraction, and this constant distraction keeps us from the people around us and from what God wants to share with us. Man, I believe that our devices have kept us from hearing from the Spirit, because our minds are constantly distracted by the things of the world. There was a study I was reading about, and this is a few years back, and they had people go and sit in a room, hooked them up to a bunch of things, and just said, all we want you to do is sit on this couch, and we're just going to leave you to your thoughts. There's no devices, there's no one else in here. We just want to give you time to just think. And if you find that that becomes difficult for you, we're going to hook you up to a little thing, and you just push this button, it'll give you a little shock, it'll give you a little jolt of electricity, because you're having a hard time. And in this study, it reported that majority of people chose to electrically shock themselves multiple times within a 15-minute time span because it was so hard to be in solitude. You see, in a day and an age where our minds are constantly bombarded with digital information and content, right, we've been conditioned for constant input. That means that we have to intentionally fight to set aside time to give our minds moments of rest, right? What the Sabbath calls to cease, desist from the constant digital consumption and distraction. So let me ask you this question. How do you find rest for your weariness? Again, it's in our body, it's physically, it's our mind, it's emotionally and mentally, as well as our spirit. Like, how do you find rest? What do you find renews you, rejuvenates you, restores you, and re-engages you? In all three of those ways. This is an important question for each of us to ask. And I think for each of us, it's going to look a little bit different. Like how you practice Sabbath or solitude and rest is going to look different than how I practice solitude and rest. And of course, what I want is that all of us would seek out the source of rest and of joy and of peace, and that's God. And so we're gonna say that that's the foundation, that's what we go to, but how it happens, when it happens, what is involved in it, like the time, the day, all of that is going to be different. And so I'll say this, it's not about doing it in a specific way or on a specific day or at a specific time. That's not as important. What's important is that you practice it and find out what works for you. All right, it's about finding this rhythm of work and rest that's unique to your life, your family, your purposes. And I would say this, in order to create that rhythm of rest and solitude, we need to actively fight against, guard against, and filter out external pollution. This is noise, this is distraction, this is temptation, right? Cultural, digital overconsumption. It's pollution. And I use pollution because I feel it best describes the majority of digital content, because there is good, but it's polluted, right? There's pollution all around it. And you just think about the content pollution. There's political pollution, right? You got the radical right and the extreme left. You got news pollution. There's fake news and false narratives. We got ads showing up left and right. You got woke ideologies, you got false doctrine and false teaching, you got new age spiritualism, you got promiscuity and pornographic content, and violence that desensitizes us. And that's just content pollution. At the end of the day, we have all kinds of pollution in our world. Air pollution, noise pollution, ocean pollution. We even have something called light pollution. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say light pollution? Well, go look it up. I'm going to share about it a little bit. So as it pertains to light pollution, like if you're around a city, the lights are always on, and it's lighting up the sky all around it, and it keeps you from seeing the beauty of God's creation, right? And so like if we want to, like if we desire to gaze in awe and wonder at the heavens above, right, the sky, the stars, space, the universe, right, just the wonder and majesty of God's creation, what we have to do is we have to find a way to get around, to get past the pollution. And that's the same with like all different kinds of pollution. We've got to find a way to go to a place where it hasn't been polluted yet, right? Few and far between in those areas, but you can go out, right? The other problem with pollution is like with all pollution, air, light, ocean, content, guess who the problem is? Us. We are the ones that are polluting the world. And the more saturated and condensed the people, the more pollution you will find. Isn't that interesting? And so the further you go out into the ocean, the less pollution. The further you go out into the wilderness, the less pollution. You ready for it? The further you distance yourself from your device, the less pollution. The more that you can hear God. But it requires us to take action. It requires us to move out of that space, to filter it and remove it. You see, if our minds are in constant danger of being polluted, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we must seek out the source that can depollute our minds. Or to put it a better way, what we've been talking about, Romans 12:2, that the source that can renew our minds. And so if we want, right, if we want to guard our hearts and minds from pollution, we have to practice rhythms of rest and solitude for renewal, right? That's it. You want to guard? You got to practice these rhythms. And this means taking time to rest in the presence of the Creator instead of seeking out more content that will just continue to pollute your mind. And maybe it's not content that will pollute it, but at the very least, it just becomes noise and a distraction, and it dulls our mind and it dulls our senses, and this leads to what the series is about, brain rot. We have come to replace rest and solitude, quiet in stillness in the presence of God with constant noise and constant distraction in digital consumption. We go to it when we're down. We go to it to find answers. We go to it to lift us up, and that's not how it should be. God should be who we go to for joy, for comfort, for peace, for rest, for answers, but instead we've traded it up for a cheap, temporary alternative. Now again, let me reiterate, I've said this every week, as I'm talking about this, I'm not against social media, I'm not against our devices. Again, there is good there, but what I'm talking about is addressing the issue of overconsumption and allowing our devices and the apps that we have subscribed to consume, right, over subscribing to and consuming and seeking the things of God. And that's what we're addressing, and that's what we're looking for. Again, I think I said this week one, but I want to say it again. Like, it's one thing to put God first and then occasionally go to consume digital content second. Right? That's how it should be. But the opposite tends to happen more. We seek consumption of digital content first, and then we occasionally go to God second. And I'll just tell you what this is. You ready? It's called idolatry. Anything you put before God becomes a god to you. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks, so I'm going to keep moving, but I just wanted to share that with you. And so if we want to be able to find joy, find peace, find comfort, find hope, find rest in God, here's what we got to do. We got to filter and limit all external forms of pollution. This is noise and distraction. It's work, it's desires, it's digital content, it's substances. Essentially, anything that keeps us from solitude and rest in God, we got to filter that out, limit it. And then there's another problem. The other problem is there's some internal pollution that we deal with, right? And so what that means is that we may be able to separate ourselves and disconnect ourselves from an external pollution, but it's a lot harder to shut this down, isn't it? And so that means we got to begin to silence the internal pollution in our minds, right? And often it's still desiring and seeking out that external pollution, but majority of the time, we're just dealing with stuff in our own lives and in our own struggles. But once we get to this place where we are actively filtering out and limiting external pollution and silencing internal pollution, guess what that opens us up for? To hear from God. But we got to position ourselves in that place to listen to him. So I'll give you this process. I wanted to put it on the screen for you so you have this, what I'm talking about. The process of solitude and rest. First things first, filter and limit external pollution. This is cultural distractions and temptations. Just think about all the things that are bombarding you at all times. Then you gotta silence and control the internal pollution. This is personal distractions and temptations. And once you do those two things, then you got to be still and listen for God's voice. And what that's going to do is bring spiritual renewal and restoration into your life. You see, when we quiet the noise on the outside, quiet the noise on the inside, it opens up a pathway for us to hear from God. And I don't know about you, but I feel like so many of us are desperate for that, right? To be in his presence, to hear what he has to say about what's going on in our life. We want it, but you gotta take the steps to get there, to meet God in the still and in the quiet. You know, one of those is listen. That becomes a problem, doesn't it? Anyone else have a problem listening? Come on, I'm raising my hand because I do. And again, so a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, because there's all this constant distraction, all this constant noise, all this, like we are, there's like a culture that is riddled with attention deficit disorder. It's not just like one person, it's like the country. I'm gonna be honest. It may even be the world. Yeah, I mean, like this is a big portion of that. This is the great pacifier of our age. Actually, I can't get into that right now. Anyway, but we have a hard time listening because, man, we have digital media and Wi-Fi everywhere, and our minds have been trained and rewired to be constantly entertained, constantly distracted, and because of that, we lack focus. Again, we want to hear from God, but we have to be willing to disconnect from our devices, even from our problems, from our work. We have to be willing to disconnect from our need for affirmation. That's a big one. We go on our social media content to see who's going to affirm us and lift us up and encourages us, but we've got to go to him. The question becomes, are we being still long enough, quiet long enough to even hear his voice? Or are we just too distracted? And I think this is where we got to take a page out of Jesus' book. Even with everything going on, what did he do? He withdrew and he listened. He went to God. He disconnected from the world and remained in constant connection with the Father. Jesus often sought solitude and rest with God. He didn't allow the gossip of his followers, the demands of the crowds, the politics of the religious leaders, the disbelief of the Gentiles, nor the authority of the Roman government, or any bad news or any evil that was happening to keep him from being with God. That was his priority. He often withdrew from everything to be with God. Time with God took precedence over the demands, the requests, the problems of others. And one of the Gospels, and Jesus is doing his thing, and again, kind of as his ministry's kicking off, Mark 1:35, it says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, got up, went out, made his way to a deserted place. Sound familiar? What's homeboy doing? Seeking solitude and rest. And he's praying there, and he's going to God, and he's listening to God. And Simon and his companions went searching for him. And then they found him and said, bro, everyone's been looking for you. Let's go. You're Jesus. You got stuff to do. And he's like, man, the thing that I need to do the most right now is be with my Father. And I think this is so important. Listen, Jesus's mission and purpose is greater than ours. What Jesus had to do, like his days were busier than ours. Jesus's time on this earth was more limited than ours. And yet with all he had to do, all he came to do, all that was asked of him, he made time to be with God, the greatest priority of his life. And that's what we're talking about. Is he the greatest priority? And then, you know, like it's one of those things, like we understand that he had all these things vying for his attention. So many people, right? Hearing about, like, of course you want Jesus to heal you and heal your family and whatever, like, and he could do it. And so you're going to him, and he had so much after a day of ministering to people and just going like this constantly, constantly, constantly. Jesus realized that, man, he had to find daily rest and renewal. And so what he did, Jesus withdrew to find rest and renewal in order that he could be strengthened in God's presence so that he could continue to carry out God's purposes. Do you understand? You want to do what God calls you to do and has uniquely designed for you to do? You have got to spend time in his presence, because otherwise you're going to come up short. You're going to be overworked, overburdened. You're going to be anxious and be stressed. And so this is a practice that we cannot overlook or shrug off. Like, he even called his disciples to do this. As they're out doing the ministry in Mark 6:30, the apostles gathered around Jesus. They began to report all that they had done. And guess what he says to them? Guys, I want to show you something. I want to show you what I do, why you keep finding me in all these deserted places. He says, come away with me to a remote place and rest for a while. Oh, man, it's so important. Like, the greatest mission that ever started was with Jesus. And he's telling his guys to rest. And I think it's just so important for us to do the same. He called them to it. He calls us to do it today. And so that means, like, we have to pull away from all the noise and distractions of cultural pollution and seek him out. And as we seek him out, we have to listen with patience. And understand, like, not only is this beneficial for us in our relationship and our purposes, but it is highly beneficial for those around us. Like, listen, man, like, your spouse needs you to rest in God. Your kids need you to find rest in God. Your coworkers need you to find rest in God. The people that you commute with every day need you to find rest in God. Because as we take time to find solitude and rest in him, then we will be able to respond to the demands, the problems that the day may bring with peace, with joy, with comfort, and with hope. Now, the Sabbath is considered to be a weekly practice, but I'll say rest and solitude needs to happen daily, right? What did Jesus do? He often withdrew, and guess what it did? It prepared him for what the day might bring, and then I think it also helped him decompress from the events of the day, and so that means like we have to practice rest and solitude daily, and as you do that, it'll prepare you for what the day is going to bring, and then it'll allow you to decompress from what the day brought. And you bring it all to God. But I think this is a weekly thing too, because we can do it daily, but at the end of the week, we look back at the week and it's all a blur and there's so much stuff going on. I think we also need to weekly spend time in solitude and rest, thinking about, reflecting on what the week brought, and then preparing ourselves for what the week is going to bring. And I kind of hinted on this. And I don't want to say it again now. I want to be clear. The call to solitude and rest is not an excuse for passivity or apathy. It's not a pushing away from the things that God called you to do, or the ways that God calls you to serve, or the things that God calls you to give to. No, it's not that at all. Like, and here's the other trap. You ready? Because we can get to a day of rest, or we can come to a moment of rest throughout our day, and we say it's solitude and rest, but we just pull out our phone. We don't seek him. We seek out the things of this world. And so don't let your solitude and rest be something that allows you to consume more content. Disconnect from this to be connected to the Father. Because at the end of the day, he is where we find rest. And he is who we need to seek. We've got to get out of the habit of consuming content that dulls us, distracts us, and pacifies us. And we need to replace it with this practice of rest and solitude that'll do the exact opposite of what digital content consumption will do. It's going to renew us, it's going to restore us, it's going to refocus us, and it's going to re-engage us with the purposes of the gospel. In Isaiah 58:13, God says this. He says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, right? This is what, like, the holy day of the Lord, honorable. If you honor it, if you honor rest, if you honor solitude, if you honor time with God. And the next part, so not going your own ways or seeking out your own pleasure. I love the last line. Or talking too much. Then you will delight yourself in the Lord. Don't miss it. Delight in the Lord comes when we seek solitude and rest in him. So that's my challenge for each of us today. As we continue to examine and evaluate our screen time and the things that we're consuming and removing the notifications, my challenge for you this week is to begin to start this practice of solitude and rest in the Sabbath. And the first challenge that I want to issue to you is this week, I want you to take a 24-hour digital detox. Not just from your phone, it's all devices. 24 hours. Disconnect. Do it on the day that works for you. Do it in the way that works for you. But understand that this disconnecting from your device is not so that you can go and do more errands or projects around the house. No, man, it's so that you can spend time in the presence of God, hear from God, listen to God, spend time with the people around you. And so during this 24-hour detox, spend time in God's word. Again, if you don't have your device, and I know many of us use our devices to seek out God, there's this thing, it's called the Bible, it's a book. You can open that up and read what's inside. It's crazy, right? I'm being funny, but like, at the end of the day, like if we're gonna set our devices aside, and that's what we typically go to, then get out your Bible, get out a journal, get out a pen, read God's word, reflect on God's word, listen to God's word, and ready for, do it again. And then do it again. What is it? This is dwelling on the things of God. And I've given you some, you can read some of these scriptures. You can read whatever scripture you feel drawn to, whatever the Spirit leads you to. These are some that fall in line with what we've been talking about. Again, Romans 12, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12. I was gonna share with you 1 Kings 18 and 19 today, but I didn't have time, and so I'm glad I removed it. There's this moment where Elijah is doing some great work for God, and he runs away fearful, and then he goes and hears God's voice. Go read it. It's a long story. It's awesome. Luke 4 and 5, kind of I shared that with you. Kind of just reiterating like what Jesus was doing and the importance of him withdrawing. I forgot my little book that there's something else that says read, be still, rest in solitude in the digital age. I put together a little booklet. They're going to be on a table as you walk out. I'll be over there as well. And take that and read through that. And what this is literally just research on some of the things that I shared with you. And the importance and some application of how you can begin to create these rhythms of rest and solitude in your life for the purposes of drawing closer to God. And then the last one, and I don't want to miss this, is during your 24-hour detox, determine a one-hour daily detox for every day. 1 hour. You know, the 24-hour digital detox is something that you can do weekly. You can set up your Sabbath. You can set up your rest. But I think this is something, again, that we need to do often, we need to do daily. So just think about those things. Take a picture of this, man, so that you can do this, so that you can practice this. And like, I just want to encourage you, like, this is going to be hard. It's going to require change. But you will be blessed by it. Your relationships will be blessed by it. Your family will be blessed by it. Your attitude will be blessed by it. When we take time to spend time with God, man, it changes everything around us. It changes our perspective, and it's so important. I'm gonna ask that you guys would join me in a word of prayer. God, it's always amazing to just look at Jesus's life and see the things that he did and the way that he operated. At the end of the day, he sought you in your will above all else. He had much to do and much to accomplish. And the pressure and it was just immense all around him. But what we learn from these passages is that Jesus often withdrew to find rest and solitude in you. God, if he needed it, we need it even more. In a world that is constantly busy, constantly distracted, lacking focus. God, we need to seek you. Be still in your presence to know you, to hear from you, and to have our minds be renewed by you. God, I pray over this room today. I pray over those who are watching or listening online today, God, that your Spirit would empower them, would encourage them to take this step to seek you more every day. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.